Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. This is such a beautiful sight to behold, to find mothers retreating, pressing in, and seeking the face of God. And what an honor it is to be here to share God's word. Thank you once again, Mama, Mommy Christy Uche. Can we celebrate Mama for setting up this platform, that the Lord Jesus will be seen and glorified? We honor you and we celebrate you in Jesus' name. This evening, I won't be taking too long. I just want to share a few things so that we can pray. Please be seated. God bless you. Just want to share a few things so that we can pray and trust the Lord to really, really, really touch people at the point of their needs and at the point of their faith, in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for the great things you are doing here already. Thank you for the speakers. Thank you for the words they brought. Thank you for the impartations. Thank you for the encounters. Thank you for the precious presence that you've poured into this place, allowing us to interact with you experientially. Father, even as we continue tonight, we ask that your presence will become even heavier and your words will come with clarity and precision to address definite issues in our lives and bring us to higher pedestals even as we interact with your spirit. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so yesterday I was pressed in my spirit to outline to us the protocols, the things that makes for an outpouring in the life of a man and in a territory where people find themselves. But before I went into my discussion yesterday, it was imperative for me to make us understand the significance of an outpouring. It's not just about an experience of the Holy Ghost. That experience is beautiful, is awesome, is wonderful. But over and above that experience, when God pours out His Spirit upon all flesh, there is a definite purpose for which that happens. And in order to give us perspective, I opened Isaiah 32 from verse 13 to verse 15. And the Bible revealed something to us there that was very remarkable. He made us to understand that God apportioned a land for His people. He made us understand God apportioned a territory for His people. However, He said, from the land that the Lord apportioned for His people, He said, thorns and briars grew out of that land, and the land became desolate. So desolate that even the palaces were empty. And I gave us illustrations here yesterday I said, have you seen people that had a glorious life and all of a sudden things turned around for evil? I said, these things happen because our world is an evil world. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, the Bible made us to understand that God gave his only son to deliver us from this evil age. And so the reason God can apportion the land to a people, apportion a prospect for a people, and suddenly evil begins to emanate is because it is in the nature of this world to propagate evil and to advance evil. In fact, I told us yesterday in a very simplistic sense that even in your house, you plant flowers, you have to labor for the flowers to grow. But grasses that you never planted will grow and blossom. And you don't know why things that are evil, things that are not necessary, things that are bad, seem to prosper in this world. But when you want to do the right thing, you have to put so much into it for it to prosper. And I said the reason is because the Bible calls this world an evil world. And so even what God apportions you, it's possible for that thing to be attacked by the devil. Because he said the land that he apportioned and appointed to his people and for his people, suddenly thorns, briars began to grow out of that land. But he said there is a cure, because we are not without a witness. We are not a hopeless people. And he said the cure that the Lord makes available for his people is the fact that once and again he pours out his spirit upon his people. And he said, until the spirit be poured upon us from on high, he said, then and only then shall the wilderness be turned to a fruitful field. Remember, what is calling a wilderness now was the land that God apportioned his people. The same land God said will flow with milk and honey. But suddenly that land, on account of the evil operations of this life, became a wilderness. He said, but when the spirit is poured from on high, the spirit has a technology of reversing that which the devil is doing. The spirit has a technology of restoring our lives and what God has given to us to the state that God wants it to be. He said, when that happens, the wilderness shall become a fruitful field, and a fruitful field shall become a forest. And so I said, in summary, three things that happen when there's an outpouring is, number one, everything that pertains to us is perfected. That's what outpourings comes to bring. Because things may not necessarily be going as they ought to, but when there is an outpouring has the capacity to cause everything around us to align to what God specified when he apportioned it to us. Be it our health, be it our finances, be it our families, everything the devil is doing around us, an outpouring comes to correct it and to shut down what the devil is doing. Number two, I say when an outpouring happens, the second thing that happens is that our lives, the quality of our lives is upgraded, because circumstances around us has the capacity to reduce the quality of our life. For example, if your children are sick, or if your business is not doing well, there is a tendency of you to be traumatized, and that anxiety will cause the quality of your life to reduce and to degrade. There's a tendency of you to begin to say things that on a normal day you will not say. So circumstances sustains the power to reduce the quality of our life. So when there is an outpouring, in addition to reconstructing and rejuvenating our environment, an outpouring also imparts on us and improves the quality of our lives. And I said number three thing that happens when there's an outpouring is that an outpouring insists that everybody is touched. It is in an outpouring that the blessings of God affect everybody. Because Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1, he said, ask of me rain in the time of the latter rain, and I will cause bright clouds and showers that will fall on every blade of grass. And I also said in Acts chapter 2 from verse 1, when the outpouring happened, every head that was present, there was a cloven tongue of fire. So when an outpouring takes place, everybody is affected positively. So the reason we talk about outpourings and we trust God for outpourings is because outpourings change our environment, outpourings improve the quality of our lives, and outpouring affects everyone that participates or is within the context where the outpouring takes place. But I said outpourings don't just happen. Outpourings are provoked. The Holy Ghost wants me to re-emphasize this. I don't know, maybe somebody was not here yesterday, or somebody needs to hear this again. Because listen, spiritual knowledge is different from physical knowledge or mental knowledge. In mental knowledge, you interact with facts cognitively. But spiritual knowledge is experiential. You may hear something, you become aware of it, you don't know it. The proof that you know a spiritual thing is that, number one, you experience it, and number two, it produces results in your life. In fact, the word used for knowledge in the spirit is the word for intercourse. There's no way you read about an intercourse and you know what it means. Because an intercourse is an experience, and it's not just an experience, it's an experience that produces an offspring. That's how spiritual knowledge works. It's beyond head knowledge, it's an experience. And sometimes for you to come into that experience, you have to make contact with it again and again. You have to meditate over it, you have to pray with it until it becomes your experience. And when it becomes your experience, the sign that you know is not that you have that fact in your head, is that deliverance is engendered. He said, thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So spiritual knowledge makes people free. Spiritual knowledge makes people to experience. And so God is having me reiterate this fact because he wants it to become an experience of someone. So when you leave this conference, there will not be points you remember. They will become things that define your lifestyle. Because remembering the point is good, but it's deeper than remembering the point. When we talk about prayer, when you live here, the proof that you've known it is that your prayer life will change. That's the sign that you caught it. And so the Lord began teaching us yesterday that outpourings are provoked. They don't just happen. And he said for an outpouring to be provoked, five things are imperative. Number one, he said there must be discernment of times and seasons. Because outpourings are calculated into divine calendar. 6 months ago, Mama was aware this meeting will take place here. This meeting is not taking her by surprise. It was in her calendar that at this time, she will be in Abuja conducting this meeting. That's how outpourings are scheduled by God. And so a people that experience and enjoy outpourings are a people that are able to discern the times of the spirit where those outpourings are scheduled. And in fact, I read two scriptures for us. The first scripture was in Acts chapter 2 verse 1. It said, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the disciples were gathered together in one accord, and they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind, and the place where they were was filled with the Holy Spirit. So there was a day that the outpouring was assigned. And the Bible also said concerning the sons of Issachar, it said, these men have understanding of times and seasons, because they know every time is not the same in the spirit. The Bible said, at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the waters. He said, whoever steps in first is the one that is cleansed. It's not everybody that enters eventually. It's the person that discerns the moment of the spirit and steps into the water that receives what the Holy Ghost brings. And so in the same vein, outpourings are calculated into times and seasons. So if you want your circumstances to change, if you want the quality of your life to improve, and if you also want to be a partaker of the outpouring of the spirit, something must happen to your spiritual sensitivity. And I said, this is not something that is announced in a market square. The way the Holy Ghost draws our attention to moments is that he begins to put a prompting in our heart. Sometimes you discover that for 7 days, You are just feeling like waiting upon the Lord. Sometimes you just perceive that something is about to happen. If you are a student of the Spirit, you will know that a spiritual agenda is about to take place. And so anything that you have to do in order to spare time for God, you begin to do it consciously, because at such times, there are usually visitations in the Spirit. And so I said the first protocol or requirement for an outpouring is discernment. Discernment of times and discernment of seasons. I said the second protocol for an outpouring is obedience. He said to the disciples in Luke 24:49, tarry until you are endued with power. Don't be all over the place. Go to a place in Jerusalem and wait there. So usually when God wants to pour out his Spirit upon you, he begins to give you instructions. Many believers violate spiritual instructions, whether it's coming from the Holy Ghost or it's coming from a spiritual authority that God brings them under. This is why their life is tight. Because if you don't obey instructions, your life will be tight. No matter what you do, every other thing, in fact, outside of instruction becomes religion. Religion is people doing things the way they want, hoping to get God's attention, instead of aligning with what God said to get what God has provided. And so if a people refuse to follow God's instruction, they will not be partakers of God's provisions. God's provisions moves in the direction of God's instructions. There are many people who have been in church for 20 years, for 30 years, but you can't see the proof of God in their lives. Many times, the reason is so is not because God is not gracious. The reason is so is because their life is full of disobedience. If they begin to align with the instructions of the Spirit, God can do for them in months what they've not experienced in years. Because it doesn't take God time to change your story. It takes you obedience to divine instructions for your story to change. And so outpourings are a product of divine instructions. Obedience to divine instructions. You see, many people, when they see God doing things with certain people, their pride and arrogance won't let them. They start checking parameters in the flesh. They're either checking how educated the person is, or they start checking where the person comes from, or they start checking how old the person is. All of those factors don't matter when the Spirit is involved. Because the certificate you got from UNN is not a qualification in the Spirit. The certificate you got from Oxford is not a qualification in the Spirit. That's why certain people, physically speaking, are illiterate, but in the Spirit, they are highly educated. And God will make them leaders over those who are professors in the natural. In the witch coven, they don't require a physical certificate. Sometimes, it's a gear of 10 years that is the grandmaster. Because of the level of intelligence in the Spirit that that person has. And one thing that brings you to spiritual knowledge and intelligence is obedience to spiritual instructions. And so a people who are interested to see an outpouring of God must become very prompt to obeying God's instructions. You do this for a period of time and you'll be shocked. The way God will bless you, it will look as if God is particularly concerned about you. It will almost look as if God is biased towards you. What everybody seems to be struggling with will be happening to you by free cost. And when they ask you, even you will not be able to explain. But all you know is that anything God says to do, you do. When Mary came to the wedding feast in Canaan, Mary told them in John 2 verse 5, he said, whatsoever he asks you to do, do it. The secret to the manifestation of the Spirit is obedience to the promptings of the Spirit. I know you guys can come up arguing with him. I know you don't know him from anywhere. But if you want this challenge to be turned around, whatsoever he asks you to do, do. And imagine the awkward instructions Jesus gave them. Water pots that they used to wash their feet. He said they should fill it with water. That pot is not even clean for drinking in the first place. How can you ask us to fill with water a container we use for bathing and for ceremonial cleanliness? Hygienically speaking, it is illogical. But that is the instruction. And they already had a leakage. Whatsoever he tells you to do, do it. And when they filled the water pot, the man never prayed. Only for him to tell them, fetch from the pot and take to the governor of the feast. Am I not going to even test it to see what has happened? He said, take it to the governor of the feast. You read it in the Bible, you think it's normal. is when you are asked to do it. That's when you see how senseless it is. When your child is struggling for school fees, house rent is not being paid, and God tells you, all the money you have, take it to the altar. That's when you will understand the instruction Jesus gave to those people. You are not telling me how to complete my house rent. You are not telling me how to pay for my child's school fees. This one that I saved for 8 months, you want me to drop it on the altar. What are we going to eat tomorrow? But the outpouring is tied to the instruction. And when the people took the wine to the governor of the feast, the water to the governor of the feast, the water turned to wine. Many times we limit God by our intelligence. And that's why God seems to be helpless in our lives. Because the things we are looking for, we think it is how it should be done that it should be done. But it is how God decides that it is done. And the way God decides it is communicated to you through instruction. Most of you are going through many things today. You have tried everything you know to do, and you have not gotten what you are looking for. What you need to do is to submit to the instruction of the Holy Spirit. He didn't call you to try, because the spirit world is not a world of trial and error. The spirit world is a world of precision and legalities. And so if God wants you to get it done, He tells you how to get it done. It's your obeying God that produces the answer that yourself cannot explain. Hallelujah. Are you following? And so the second protocol for an outpouring is obedience to divine instruction. The third protocol for an outpouring is heart posture. I told us yesterday, the reason God can't work with many people is because their heart is evil. He said, who can stand in the heat, the mountain of the Lord? Psalm 24 verse 3. Who shall ascend his holy hills? He said, him that is of a clean hand, a pure heart, who have not lifted up his soul in vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. We are too evil in our heart to handle hallowed things. Somebody comes and gossips another person, and the same person holds hands with that person she just finished gossiping, and is saying, we are sisters in the Lord. What do you mean by sisters in the Lord? You think it's a nomenclature. Somebody leaves a meeting with a woman or a man she just prayed with, and the next person she goes to meet, she begins to slander that person. They held hands together and prayed, trusting God for intervention. Meanwhile, what we need to understand is that God is called Alpha Omega. He is beginning and end. He was where you were praying, and He was also where you were gossiping, all at the same time. And so most of us who are here, we don't know that God is already in tomorrow. And we don't know that God is still in yesterday while we are still here. And so what you did yesterday can affect today, and what you are doing now can affect tomorrow. And so what necessitates an outpouring is a state of purity, because the only way you can guarantee your tomorrow is the state of your heart. Because if God sees that the outpouring you are praying for, if the outpouring comes tomorrow, it will become a thing of show, because it's already in tomorrow, and He knows tomorrow He will stop it from happening today. Our heart, many times, is the reason why God is not moved when we speak. Because God knows our heart too well. In fact, in Genesis chapter 6 verse 5, it said God has seen the evil and the imagination of the thought of heart of man that is continually evil. So there was no way for God to wait. He ended the world. The reason He ended the world was because He has read the heart of men, and He has seen that their every imagination and the thoughts of their heart is evil continually. So God knows, even if He waited for another 30 years, their heart will still be evil. So He sent the flood and purged the earth. Because when God deals with men, He doesn't deal with men based on their intelligence. He deals with men based on their heart posture. He said to Samuel, men look on the outward. He said, but I, the Lord, I judge the heart. And so if we are looking for an outpouring, what we need to trust God for is for our heart to become pure. If our heart is not purged, there will be no outpouring. We will talk about it, we will preach it, we will pray it, we will sing it, but it will never happen. You know, when I was talking yesterday, I ascended into my elements. But the Holy Ghost told me, sometimes it's not just about energy. He says, sometimes get people to reason with what you are saying. Let them understand the weight and the enormity of what you are talking about. When we are talking about an outpouring, we are talking about the God of heaven pouring his spirit upon men. It's not a joke. There are things he will check. There are indicators that must be there for God to make such things happen. If God opened all our hearts here and project it on this screen, we will run out of this place. After having sat here for 2 days, if God opened our hearts and said he will play our heart for one minute here, you will be so shocked. I went to a meeting somewhere to preach, and everywhere was flamboyant, the color, the lighting spectacular. When the choir was singing, the voice was glorious. And the Lord told me, don't be carried away by their voice. He said, this choir, they are fighting themselves now. Because the lady who is singing is not the one who is supposed to sing. But the lady who is singing is the girlfriend of the choir director. So she's singing because the choir director slept with her last week. And the lady who is supposed to sing has been sidelined because over 60% of the people in the choir gossip her. Since God is already announcing her, there was envy and jealousy. He says, so this song they are singing is full of iniquity. If our heart is played for one minute, you'll be shocked that what we'll be doing here is not preaching. Everybody will kneel on the altar and be crying. The reason we all sit down and it looks as if we are organized is because our heart is hid. Meanwhile, our heart can only be hid from ourselves, not from spirit. The Bible says you have come to the midst of the spirit of just men made perfect. Everything in your heart, in the spirit, is open. Everybody can see it. And so there's unforgiveness, there's bitterness, there's hatred, there's malice, there's backbiting. Where would the outpouring come to? That's the challenge we have. Intelligent message, intense prayer, but heart evil. How can you imagine that a man who followed Jesus for more than 3 years, all he was planning was how to sell him? Even at the Last Supper, he was there. In fact, he was the one who fed with Jesus from the same cup. You will assume that this guy was so close. He was among the 12. Jesus had 12 disciples. Jesus had 70 disciples. Jesus had 120 disciples. Jesus had 500 disciples. This guy beat the 500, beat the 120, beat the 70. He was among the 12. But the person among the 12, even up to the last day, was already negotiating on how to sell Jesus. And we talk out for it. No. The heart must be poured. And so the third requirement for an outpouring is a pure heart. The fourth requirement for an outpouring, like we said yesterday, is prayer. Prayer is a testimony of our desperation in the realm of God, that we need him above everything. Because it can be possible that we need other things more than God. If you have an appointment with a senator, if you have an appointment with the president, you will not sleep that night. The excitement and the joy will kill you. The next day, the dress, the best dress in your box, is what you will take out. And it will be there hours before the time, because you won't want to make the mistake of being late. And when you come before the senator or the governor or the president, the way you will culture and organize yourself, the highest level of decorum and organization will be put in order to win the heart of the person. All of that is a testimony of your desperation to receive that person's favor. And so when we come before God in prayer, what God is judging is the extent to which we need him. If our prayer is just another religious exercise, or if our prayer is a cry from the depths of our heart that God, you are our only hope, you are all we require, and you are all we depend on, If our prayer reaches that level, then the outpouring becomes inevitable. It says, if my people who are called by my name, God didn't deny them. God called them his people. So you can be God's people and perish. It says, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So it's not enough to be God's people. It says, if my people who are called by my name will, this is the condition, if they will humble themselves and pray and purge themselves of evil, he said, I will hear them and I will heal their land. So what provokes God's release upon his people is their brokenness in the place of prayer and their desperation in calling upon the name of the Lord. In Acts chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, when they flogged them and threatened them never to preach the name of Jesus, their humanity rose up. They became afraid. And the Bible said they returned to their own company and recited to them everything that had happened. And he said they lifted up their voices and prayed. And in verse 30, he said when they were done praying, the place where they were was shaking. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost again. So prayer is a spiritual requirement for provoking an outpouring. And finally, I said outpourings are available to people who are willing to advance God's kingdom. You can't be asking and expecting God for an outpouring so that when that release comes, you take that release and go and sit at home and you are just loving your children and your husband. No. The outpouring is for kingdom advancement. The outpouring is not for you to just receive and then go, your business begins to blossom, and then you just sit down at your business place. No. Everybody who asks God for outpouring is somebody who is burdened about kingdom advancement. The moment the Holy Ghost came upon them in Acts chapter 2, the Bible said in verse 14, Peter stood up and preached, and he said 3,000 was added to the church. The next time we heard, he said 5,000 was added to the church. The next time we heard, he said a great company of the priests became obedient to the faith. The next time we heard, he said the whole city came to them. So the outpouring is for kingdom advancement. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he said, not many days from now, you shall receive the Holy Ghost and power. And he said, you shall be witnesses. The reason the outpouring comes is for you to be witnesses. And so if you have come for a conference where you are trusting God for an outpouring, then you must be ready that if you go up to the office tomorrow, you talk to somebody about Jesus. You must be ready that if you go to the market tomorrow, you talk to somebody about Jesus. The outpouring is not a conference where you come to have fun. The outpouring is a place where you receive empowerment to take the kingdom to your world. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. The idea behind the outpouring is to empower you to take the gospel everywhere. And so everywhere you go to from tomorrow, the sign and the proof that you are a candidate of the outpouring, you expected something and you received something, is that you will begin to set that place on fire by preaching Jesus to everybody you meet. I can assure you that it's possible for some persons to be here. From January till now, they've not preached to anybody about Jesus. They've gone to church on Sunday. They've dressed well. They've danced. They've sang. They've praised God. They've even received miracles from God. But they've never told anybody about Jesus. If they say they are healing people today, they are there. If they say God is doing impartation, prosperity, or a prophetic service, they are there. And so from January to December, it's all about receiving. Those who receive are not the candidates of the outpouring. The candidates of the outpouring are those who give. And the first thing to give, they give, is the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. They go out there and they preach Christ. They give Christ to the people and they make sure Christ becomes popular. There are people that are in church today, they've made many things more popular in their lives than Jesus. Their business is more popular than Jesus. Their career is more popular than Jesus. Their children are more popular than Jesus. Everywhere they go to, they tell you about their daughter who is a high court judge. Everywhere they go to, they tell you about their son who just studied medicine from Harvard University. And all of those are mundane things. But it is the pride of life that makes us celebrate things that have no eternal value. They are willing to sing the praise of how their husband was elected to a position. They are willing to sing the praise of how their businesses have expanded. Now they have 3 churches. They have 3 shops. And the business is doing well. They are willing to showcase their jewelries, showcase their beauty, showcase the kind of garments they wear. But Jesus is never showcased. And so you can point 5, 6, 7 things in their lives that they have made more popular than Jesus Christ. Their children are more popular, their husband are more popular, their businesses are more popular than Jesus. And every day they come to church. In fact, they even think by coming they are doing God a favor. There's no outpouring for such a people. And we may not know the implication until we leave this life, because life does not end here. The good news for those who are serving God is that after here, that's when the real life begins. And the bad news for those who are not serving God is that after here, everything they live for, they will discover it's vanity upon vanity. And so the outpouring is for the people that want to advance God's kingdom. You can be a market woman, start from there. You can be a business owner, start from there. You can be a politician, start from there. Jesus said, begin from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost part of the world. You may not be an evangelist organizing crusades, but at least you have 7 workers. Do they know Jesus? At least you go to the market, you talk to people every day. How many have you told about Jesus? At least you are a doctor, you go to the hospital every day. How many have you spoken to about Jesus? That is the proof that your life has value in the realm of God. You have no value in the realm of God because you are rich. You have no value in the realm of God because you are beautiful. You have no value in the realm of God because you have a political position. You have value in the realm of God because you are an agent that advances God's kingdom. And as you begin to do it, God will progressively and continually pour His Spirit upon you. That's what we looked at yesterday. Elohim, Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai.
Elohim.
Elohim Adonai. Elohim Adonai. Aliyah, eh, eh, Aliyah, eh, eh, ah, eh, Aliyah, you far. Please, let's be seated. Let's be seated. I want to add two more things tonight. God is desperately looking for men he will use this time. The scarcest commodity now in existence are genuine men. God is desperately looking for people he will use to fulfill his agenda. And it's not the only person. Spirits are in the market of souls, looking for souls that they will use to advance their agenda. That's why we gather. Many times we make the mistake of thinking the most important thing in our gathering are the miracles and the signs and the wonders. Whereas the most important things in our gathering are the decisions that we make for God. Because every day of your life, everywhere you turn to, spirits are trying to woo you. They are in the business of wooing men in order to use men for their agenda. And so three things that will be very important to focus on at this time are the things I want to list before I pray for us. By the grace of God, if we touch people this evening, I travel every day and I see God do strange things. But God has taught me that what he's doing is beyond the physical manifestation. 5 days ago, we were just sharing casually like this in the morning. And when we're done sharing, I said, okay, since you are not interested in the message you came to receive, let's stop preaching. Stand up. I said, now I decree healing in the name of Jesus. They said, amen. It looked so casual, they thought it was a joke. Until a woman screamed and came out. What happened? There was a growth on her leg, very big, that vanished. She was thrown aback. She couldn't believe that a growth that strong can just vanish. Another woman shouted. She couldn't bend because for more than 2 years, she had an accident and arthritis pain added to it. And so she's been walking with excruciating pain. Even that was when they were now ready to hear the message. I said, no, I'm not preaching again. Says what you came for is to receive. Receive and go. But the people who keep receiving from God, they never grow. I came back from Lagos yesterday. I was telling you, the night before, I was teaching them about new dimensions. And my emphasis was to teach them how to enter new realms in God. But the crowd was much and they were interested. They came for healing. They came for miracle. I said, okay, I will stop preaching now. Like I may stop now. In the name of Jesus, a woman ran from behind. For 6 years, she's not been able to walk. Because the bone of her right hip was disjointed. And she was, the church people knew her. And everywhere blew open and escalated. Another woman, she had a heart challenge, heart palpitation. They said there's a hole in the heart and the heart keeps vibrating. Something left her. And she got healed. It takes a moment for God to touch you, but it will take a lifetime for you to be transformed. So the things God does are not the main thing. Those are not the real testimony. The real testimony are the transformations that happen. That a woman who did not fear God suddenly starts fearing God. That a woman who does not pray suddenly starts praying and God speaks to her. That a woman who was promiscuous, giving to immorality, suddenly starts burning for God. Those kinds of miracles, they don't end in time. They are eternal. Because even when you go to heaven, they will still write it. That now your name is written in the book of life. A cancer can leave you. They will remember it in eternity because they don't fall sick there. And so there are three things you must be mindful of before God begins to do the natural one, because God will touch people here. The first thing that you need to be mindful of is how to keep
your hunger for God. That's what the devil will take from you any day, anytime. When your hunger is stolen, you will discover that you who used to pray at night, you will stand up and sleep will flog you back to bed. You who used to love the things of God, you carried your good news Bible and read through. In a year, you could read 3 times. Even when you were not seeing well, you strained your eyes with your glasses to read. Now, you can no longer read the verse. It means your hunger is beginning to die. When your hunger begins to die, your spiritual life begins to die. And so in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus was speaking. He said, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness. Righteousness means right standing with God. He said, they shall be comforted. So there's a kind of comfort that God gives to people that you cannot pick by an impartation. There's a kind of comfort that comes to you because you pursued and desired God. You crave after God. And that kind of hunger, Jesus says, it comes with a blessing. He said, blessed are they. This kind of people, there's a blessing that is apportioned to them that nothing can steal away. Remember, when Jesus came to the house of Mary and Martha, the woman was carried away to entertain Jesus. And she was troubling her sister. She's not coming to help me. And Jesus said, leave her. You are all over and moving everywhere. He said, this one thing she has found, he said, it shall not be taken from her. So the people who keep their hunger for God, there is something God gives to them that nobody can take. I pray for somebody here that before this conference is over, you will find hunger for God and he will become your true husband in the spirit. In Psalm 63 verse 1 and 2, the psalmist was describing hunger. He said, as the deer panted after the water brooks, he said, so my soul longed after you in a dry and in a thirsty land where no water is. Now, those who know the deer, when the deer is thirsty, the deer can pick the scent of water from more than 100 miles away. And a deer can go to drink water from a river that it can be killed from. For those of you who watch Natural Wild, you'll notice that these crocodiles will hide under this water. And the deer knows that the crocodiles are there and they can kill them. But because of their love and affinity to water, they will still come to drink water from a crocodile-infested river. And many times, crocodiles will come after them, they will still come back. Because there is something about the deer and water that the deer cannot stop. Because it looks as if the water becomes the source of its life. That's what happens to a man that has hunger for God. God becomes more important to you than the oxygen on your nostrils. God becomes the very source of your existence. Jesus is teaching us, he said, when you get to that point where you thirst for God, he said, there's a blessing that he will give to you. And the word blessing means to cause to prosper. So what Jesus was saying is that when a man becomes hungry for God, it becomes natural for that man to prosper. Let me tell you something. There are certain men today that everything they do prospers. So long as they touch it, it begins to work. In fact, if you want something to work, get them to become a part of it. The moment they become a part of it, it begins to work. Not because they bring any mental capacity into the matter. They just bring their presence. Their presence is one with God's presence. Because they have mingled with God through hunger. Everything that God represents, that's what they represent. Now imagine if you carry God like that. What will happen to your family? Some of the prayers we are praying for our families, if we had enough hunger to bring God's presence to our family, those things will begin to happen naturally. There is a measure of God's presence you will carry, that if you enter a place, demons will go out. Not because you are praying. You came with a weight, and that weight you came with, demons cannot coexist there. Now imagine somebody who is praying to God about crisis in her family, whereas God is showing her a better way. The way God is showing her is, come into my presence. When you come into my presence will go with you like a canopy. Did you not read the children of Israel? It said, for 40 days and 40 nights, they carried the presence of God like a canopy. And these people were walking through wilderness. they were not walking through a forest. And in that wilderness, the Bible said their shoe grew with them. Their clothes grew with them. The Bible said in the wilderness, they did not lack water. The Bible said in the wilderness, none of them was weary. The Bible said any nation they passed through, they licked that nation up until nations began to tremble. If they told you that Israel was coming towards you, you began to tremble because you know that everywhere they come, they prosper. In fact, God speaking in the book of Psalms, he said he rebuked kings for their sake. So there's a realm a man becomes blessed to, that even kings are placed under law not to dare them. He said he rebuked kings for their sake, and he gave a law in the spirit, touch not my anointed. He's not talking about pastors, he's talking about the children of Israel, because they had come under the glory. Because the anointing is the presence of God rubbing over you. And the way you come under that level of presence is when you hunger for God. That's why Jesus said, blessed are they that hunger. Because when a man begins to hunger for God, things begin to work for him. In Psalm 1 from verse 1 to 3, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor is seated in the seat of the scornful. He said, but his delight is the law of the Lord. And he said, on this law doth he meditate day and night. See the description of that man. He said, that man is like a tree planted by the rivers of living waters. It produces its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. See, there are many things you don't need to pray for. I don't remember when last I prayed for money. But if I carry my phone now, there's an alert on it. I can tell you randomly, people pray that they want to go to different nations. I say, for what? Those kinds of things, Christians pray for it as well. I don't know how to pray for visa. There are things a believer should not pray for. Because if you are planted in God's presence, they happen to you by free course. How can believers gather and they are praying for healing? They are praying for bread. They are praying for wine. No, not the believer that hungers for God. Because when you get God, you get everything. When you catch God, you catch everything. Many times, the things we pursue is a distraction. I pray for somebody today. Everything stealing your hunger is buried this evening. The quality of your life is not tied to America. It's not tied to the UK. The quality of your life is tied to God's presence. Come into God's presence, they will seek you from everywhere. He said it's like the tree planted by the rivers of living waters. There's such a thing called producing your fruit in your season. There's such a thing called your leaf does not wither. That means you don't know dry season. When men are cast down, that's when you are lifted. They say dollar is going down, going up. You don't know the difference. Because God does not bless you in naira. God bless you with grace. And that grace commands hard currencies. It commands local currencies. And so you are not regulated by fluctuation. When you are praying because of others. If it were for you, your abundance comes from heaven. Because that's where you live. He said, give us this day our daily bread. How is that? Because our Father who art in heaven. So your resources come from heaven. Your resources don't come from Nigeria. Your resources don't come from a country. They come from Zion. But that cannot happen until God becomes your presence. I'm telling you what can turn your life around. You will be shocked. Hannah was a woman mocked at. Hannah was a woman oppressed. But suddenly she held to the horns of the altar. It was on that altar she knelt down that her barrenness was turned around. And her son became like a king over Israel. It was on that altar that everything changed. She didn't consult with anybody. She didn't beg anybody. She didn't even beg her own husband. She went to the altar. Listen, there are many things that even your husband will fail you in. And so much more than your husband is God's presence. As you stay in God's presence, they say you become like a tree. The Bible didn't know what to describe it with. That's why he calls it. In fact, if you study Psalm 16 verse 11, he said, that will show me the path of life. He said, in thy presence is fullness of joy. And he said, at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. And so what men are running to London to find, you can sit in God's presence and it will meet you here in Nigeria. We send money to people in the United States. We send money to people in different nations of the world. Not because We are doing a business better than what they are doing. But the presence of God makes it happen. When you are there, that place becomes God's embassy. That place becomes God's kingdom. That place becomes God's atmosphere. And people will be shocked. Sometimes God will do things in your life that yourself will marvel. It's like the proverbial donkey that carried Jesus into Jerusalem. They were throwing their wrappers on the ground. If you carry God's presence, kings will bow to you. Nations will bow to you. Systems will bow. You will not even know. But if you are wise, you will know it's what you carry. The presence, nothing compares to it. Nothing beats it. It's overwhelming when the presence of God is upon your life. But the way to generate it is to hunger for God. People are carried away by their fingernails. People are carried away by their eyelashes. People are carried away by their skin color. Skin color. It's only your husband you will do shakara for with eyelashes and skin color. There's what men carry that nations fear them. There's what men carry that kingdoms fear them. There's what men carry that territories bow to them. And it's not for apostles and prophets. It's for every believer. The question is, what is the quotient of your hunger? That thing you are looking for running up and down, if the presence of God comes over you, oh, you'll be shocked how things will turn around overnight. And you'll be wondering, how shall these things be? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. It is the presence that makes the difference. Please sit down. God made it available for everybody, but very few press for it. He said, but him that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, he said, he abides under the shadow of the Almighty. See, there's a presence you will carry that your children will start doing the right thing before you talk. That advice you call them early in the morning and sit down, that thing was working in 1970, not now. It was in 1970 you wake your child up by 5 a.m. and advise your child and pull the person's ear. It's no longer working because now the world is a global village. In 1970, if you send your child to a school in Unewi, your child is only there. Today, your child can be in the bedroom and she's seen the greatest corruption in the United Kingdom. She's seen the highest corruption in Las Vegas. Even if he or she doesn't want to see it, it will pop on her phone. And so there are energies she's interacting with that is deeper than the advice. And so in addition to the advice, you need to carry an atmosphere that when they come under that atmosphere will rejuvenate their cell structure. Even when they don't want to, they will have no choice. In this world, that demons are improving technologies. At least, all of you here saw when women were ashamed to wear trousers walking on the street. Today it's pants they are wearing. Shamelessly. Is this a generation you want to come and advise somebody? The darkness, the thickness of the darkness is beyond what you can imagine. You need presence. You need to enter somewhere, and when you come out, you come with that fragrance. So that when you talk, the presence of God will travel. That presence of God will convict their soul and rejuvenate. It's like radiation. Everything the devil plants in their soul, it will uproot it. I pray for somebody today. The hunger that is required to host God, it rests upon you now. If we know the things that are meant for our advantage, if we know the things meant for our advantage, there's no disadvantage for anybody. There's no disadvantage. God can change anybody's story anytime if he or she is willing to cooperate. Any day, anytime. Nobody's disadvantaged. We have too much advantage in the spirit for anyone to be disadvantaged. As your hunger for God grows, what he gives to you is the presence. And when the presence comes upon you, even if you are in the wilderness, you will prosper. Israel prospered in the wilderness for 40 days because they carried the presence. They didn't have a trained army, yet no nation could defeat them. 40 days, they dominated the world. Until date, there is no nation that is doing well that does not have the impute of Israel. America's backbone is Israel. Because of what their fathers caught in the spirit. If there is an inheritance you want to leave for your children, it shouldn't be money in an account. It should be the knowledge of God and the presence of God. With that, they can do anything, anywhere, anytime. Number two. Is prophecy. We are at a time where everything is fighting our progress. Now, the problem are not the attacks. The problem is the fact that many are not using their weapons. The Bible said the light shines in the darkness. So the darkness is not the problem. It said the darkness comprehends it not. The light shines in the darkness. So the darkness can keep increasing. The problem is not the darkness. The problem is whether you have light or not. So if you have light, your glory manifests in darkness. And so prophecy is one of the weapons of light that God gives to us to make progress in this life. I show you three things about prophecy before I begin to make declarations. Number one, prophecy has the capacity to turn situations around. And why am I using prophecy? I'm using prophecy because in the New Testament, everyone who is born again is a seed of prophecy. The word of God is with every one of us who is born again, if we will wait upon him. And so you can catch the word you need to change your story. Either when you stay with God or in a meeting like this when words are being sent forth. The first thing prophecies do is that they turn situations around. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, the Bible speaks of a nation that was besieged by the enemy. And hunger and famine became so much that women began to eat their children. Now, when you study the scripture, the purest form of love you will find is the love between the mother and the child. The love between the mother and the child is purer than the love between a man and a wife. Most times, the love between a man and a wife is conditional. That's why God uses a covenant to support it. Because he knows if a covenant is not used, when those conditions are exhausted, that love will die. The man sees a tall, dark woman, very slim, with very excellent shape. He said, Kai, he wants to live with her forever. When the woman gives birth to three children and her shape changes, the same man suddenly wakes up and begins to think again. Because men are selfish. It's the nature of men. And most women, so long as you drive a good jeep towards them, you are a caring person. Because they are already creating a world in their head. Since they don't want stress, they assume that you will take care of their stress. Most of the times, the love that exists between man and wife is conditional. But there is no condition that exists between the love of a mother and a child. Now, if you find a nation where women begin to eat their children, you now know you have come to a worst case scenario. But it was in that situation, when the king was helpless and women were eating their children, that the prophet spoke. In 2 Kings chapter 7 verse 1, he said, by this time tomorrow, he said, a cup of barley shall be sold for one shekel. Economies don't change overnight. It will take a lot of policies. It will take a lot of transactions. It will take a lot of economic engineering and re-engineering for the impact to even begin to show. In our country today, for example, they've looted more than 50% of our currencies and stocked them. And so in a bid to pull the money out, they are changing the naira note so that those who hid money exorbitantly And unreasonably will be forced to bring it out, because the economy is almost running into drought of finances. Meanwhile, they gave 3 months for monies to be returned. They still say it's short. That's how bogus a national economy is. It takes time to affect it. We've seen many politicians come up and claim they will change things in 4 years. Even in 8 years, they are not able to. Rather, it deteriorates because of the complexities attached to national economy. But here was a prophet. He said, by this time tomorrow. And a technocrat who knows how complex economy is said, no, even if the window of heaven opens, it will not happen. That person doesn't know the excellency of prophecy. They say, by this time tomorrow. And the prophet told him, you will see it, but you will not enjoy of it. So people who doubt prophecies become victims. But people who receive prophecies become victors. Because prophecy carries the power to make and to destroy. I speak over somebody today, by this time tomorrow, every force that has negated you go down for you. I know you have been praying. I know you have been fasting. I know you have been trusting God. But I came as a man sent to you. And I decree, every force that has defied your family, that thing that has kept you on the altar for 10 years, I decree by this time tomorrow, there will be a turnaround. He said, when the Lord shall turn again the captivity of Zion, he said, we'll be like them that dream dreams. Then our mouth shall be full of laughter. I decree over you, from this moment, your mouth is full of laughter. A young man walked up to me, and casually like this, he had struggled for over 10 years. And by the Spirit of God, I spoke a word over him. 2 weeks later, he came back to me and said, God is a miracle worker. I said, what did God do? Because all of us know he's a miracle worker. Why are you affirming that? He said, he left you. He had been struggling. In fact, he went to do a job interview in Warri to become a merchant navy. They rejected him. He came back frustrated. Suddenly, somebody called him. Say, I've seen you. You are a good man. Take this money. Go and do business. In this season, take this money. You will think it's 50,000. The person gave him 10 million. No relationship. You are a good man. What do you mean you are a good man? Do you know how many good men are around? Why must he be this good man? And you are giving somebody money at this time. It's not 100,000 for us to say you are magnanimous. 10 million. And the guy took off. While he was yet contemplating what God was doing, another person called him some days later and gave him a car. That was when he realized that, wait, this is not natural, because in the last 10 years, nobody has even shook me to say you are a good man. How come somebody is now using 10 million to affirm I'm a good man? I decree over you, everything that needs to come to your life to make a change of story, I release it into your destiny. You know, when I walked in here, I contemplated. I said, these are mothers. People don't need to fall down here. This part, they are mothers. That's why I didn't come with energy. Yesterday, I was boiling, but I don't know how I will comport myself if I see mothers, my own mothers falling. But I decree over you now, the power that turns things around, it comes upon you in the name of Jesus. It's called the excellency of prophecy. In dark times, you need prophecy as a weapon. When the devil is fighting, you need prophecy as a defense. It will shield you. It will move you forward. Please sit down. In Ezekiel 37, from verse 1 to verse 9, the hand of the Lord took the prophet to a valley of dry bones. And when the guy looked at the bones, he said, indeed, the bones were dry. Have you seen a situation that yourself affirmed that Kai this situation, truly, truly speaking, is bad. That's what the prophet was saying. He said, truly, the bones were dry. And he said, Mortimer, God had to test his understanding. He said, can these bones live again? He said, Father, only thou knowest. If you ask me, I will answer as a mortal man indeed. Because these bones are really dry. And he said, speak to the bones. And when he spoke, he said, bones, joined to bones. Now, hear this. A valley where over 1,000 people were massacred and dumped. And they had rotted. The air had removed all the flesh until the bones became dry. Bones had broken and scattered. How did bones develop intelligence to locate each bone? And they didn't just locate the bone of the person, they located it at the exact joint. And as if that was not enough, every flesh that decayed and was carried away by the wind that took that flesh returned it back. And the flesh that disintegrated was reinvigorated. And the flesh came upon the bones. And he said, prophesy again. And he said, the wind and the breath that came out of them came back from wherever it was and entered them again. And when they stood up, it's not men that stood up. He said, an exceeding great army. That means they became better than they were before they were massacred. I decree over you, as the wind of the Spirit comes upon you tonight, you will become 10 times better than you were. You thought your problem was lack of money, but God has checked that it's not just about money. You need wisdom for business. So in addition to the money he will give you wisdom for that business. I decree over you now, the root of your problem is addressed now. In the name of Jesus, become 10 times better. God changes the stories of men. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. You don't have to look like it. He said, I'm the Lord that lifted the beggar from the dunghill. No human connection. No natural advantage. He said, I set him upon throne up with princes to inherit thrones. So a beggar can become coronated. I decree everything that hinders you from your coronation, it leaves your life now. Please sit down. And then I read the last one. In 1 Kings 17 verse 14, Elijah came and made a decree that there will be no rain nor dew. And true to his word, there was no rain, there was no dew. And God sent him to a brook to be there for a while until the brook dried. God sent Elijah to a widow to feed him. How can a widow feed a whole man? When Elijah showed up, the widow said she was left with the last portion to eat with her son and die. That means the widow had accepted death. Have you been to that situation where you trusted God until you got tired? And it became so hopeless that you have accepted death. That's where that widow was. She was no longer putting her faith to work. She had trusted God until God didn't come through, so she had given up. And she said, I just want to eat this and die. And the prophet told her, 1 Kings 7 verse 14, he said, that cup of barley will not finish. I decree over somebody now, even where your faith failed, because of this prophetic word, receive answers now. You were hoping that God will change the story. 10 years ago, it didn't happen. 9 years ago, it didn't happen. 8 years ago, it didn't happen. 7 years ago, it didn't happen. 6 years ago, it didn't happen. 5 years ago, it didn't happen. 4 years ago, it didn't happen. 3 years, 2 years. Even last year, it didn't happen. And this year is about to be over. And it looks as if it will not happen again. I came to you with the word of the Lord. By this time tomorrow, there will be a change. That thing you have been trusting God for, that your faith has been given up on, I decree now, God will prove you wrong.
and God will make it happen in the name of Jesus. Yes, even when our faith fails, God is faithful. Yes, that's why he's called the everlasting God. Can you lift your hands up now and ask him for that one thing you are trusting him for? This is that hour. This is that hour. This is that hour. I've seen many things by the help of God. I've seen people barren 5 years, 10 years, just by the word of the Lord, they conceived. I've seen cancer die from people's bodies. I've seen cripples walk. I've seen the blind see. I've seen the deaf hear. I've seen the poor made wealthy by the word of the Lord. I don't know what you are trusting God for, but you didn't come here for another religious gathering. This is Mount Zion, the city of the living God. This is where deliverance is engendered unto Jacob. Whatever it is you are trusting God for, this is the hour. Be bold to make your demand now. Varakado sariate aligamanda rabarak. Aya. Amreketo seferati. I want you to pray like somebody who is expecting something, not tomorrow but now. He can do it now.
You will receive. Is that seek you will find. Is that knock the door shall be opened unto you. Some of you are asking. Some of you are seeking. Some of you are knocking. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Madevale Karundo Sabradila Paragata. Jedegevari Kabarando Sosofina Talavai. Rikabanda Pradegaziza Avratakali. Jetetene Mantakiba. Baraka, 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 Baraka. Zetete Lavanda Kibara Diata. Matekeben Naragabanoska. I ask for a fresh baptism. Mantekeba. Beretene Sanda Kibaya. Bora Nolotovonda Paragadiat. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The first thing God will do now is that He will touch your altar and set it on fire again. Amen. Hear this. When women stop praying, a war is about to end. The reason God gave wombs to women, it's not just to carry natural children. It's so that they can also beg spiritual things. It's the nature of the woman to incubate. And so any generation where women stop praying, there is crisis. And so there are certain of you here who are called intercessors. You are gatekeepers in the spirit. But in recent times, there's been a battle around your prayer altar. And so you are the first set of people God wants to touch now. And so in the next 1 minute, I want you to lift your hands and ask God for a fresh fire. A fresh fire. That altar going down, that it will come alive again. That altar dying, your family depends on it. Your nation depends on it. There's a fire that is about to come. On setting altars now. Holy fire. Release fire. I release that fire now. Take that fire. Matakadora. Sharoa. Tatata. Theater. Vera. 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 I call your altar. I call for your altar. I call for your altar.
Holy fire born upon my own.
Vera. Kotane. Here that God will touch. If we have ushers here, I will need you to bring them. I want to touch them just to make that contact for a fresh fire to come upon them. Please just be sensitive. You don't need to pray now. You don't need to pray. There are seven of you that God is setting on fire again because your altar is about to be kindled. I want ushers to help me with this one. There are seven of them. Father, in the name of Jesus, there are seven women here that you are bringing under the government of priesthood. A new fire, a new unction, a new anointing, wherever they are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Take that fire. Help mama. Take that fire. Take that fire. Barakatona balakade. Ay, In the name of Jesus, hear this. God wants to touch your bodies now. Some of you came here with afflictions, arthritis pains, growths in the body, blood conditions, organ conditions. It is time to deal with those afflictions. And some of you are standing in for someone, either for your children, your husbands, or your loved ones. Now stretch your hands towards me. Father, please hear me. In the name of Jesus. Just stay sensitive, please. Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity. Now, I command you, be bound in the name of Jesus. I command every chain of sickness break from their bodies. Arthritis pains on the back, on the waist, on the neck, in the joints. In the name of Jesus, be gone now. I command growths in the body, be gone. Blood conditions, be healed. I command ear conditions, eye conditions, organ conditions, by the power of the Holy Ghost, be healed in the name of Jesus. And everyone you are standing for, I decree now, the hand of God is upon them. And their cases are turned around in the name of Jesus. Every affliction in your body, I arrest it now. And I command it to come out of you in the name of Jesus. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. Come out of them in the name of Jesus. I command lumps and growths in the body, dematerialize now. I command blood conditions, go now. Organ conditions, go now. Ears, hear. Eyes, see. Pains, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Receive your healing now. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Receive the touch of the Holy Ghost. Receive the touch of the Holy Ghost. Receive the touch of the Holy Ghost. Just stay calm for a moment. We make a miracle walk, promise keep, light in the darkness. That is who you are. Just lift your hands quietly. We make a miracle walk, promise keep, light in the darkness. That is who you are. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. Thank you, Father. I want to make a decree over your circumstances now. But before I do that, you can go ahead and check your body. You had a pain, you had a growth somewhere, you can check it. You will be shocked that it has left you. Some of you that have cases you need to verify, you will be shocked, you will verify tomorrow and discover it's gone. Check your bodies. Check your bodies. You will be shocked. Now, if you have noticed a change, can you wave at me? You have noticed a change already. Already. You are not hoping for. You have noticed a change. Can you wave? Are you looking at those God has touched already?
We make a miracle walk. Promise be my God in the darkness. My God, darling, who you are. You are way maker. Way maker. Miracle walk. Promise be my God in the darkness.
You will take for granted what God healed others from until it happens to you. Those days when I go to preach and somebody says I'm healed of headache, I'm asking God like, is it headache? You sent me here to heal. I'm looking for cancer. I'm looking for people who couldn't walk until one day headache gunned me down for 3 days. When I put my faith to walk for long, it didn't work. I had to go to paracetamol. That was the day I repented. That headache can crumble your faith. If you have noticed a change, can you wave? Those of you that have a tangible, can you come forward? Let's just use you to celebrate now. We may not be able to take the testimonies, but you can just come forward. Pastor King, speak to them. Maybe one or two things God has done. I want to decree over your circumstances. Hear this. When you are addressing a woman, you are addressing the whole society. Apart from the fact that the society came out of the womb of the woman, when you are addressing a woman, you are addressing her children, you are addressing her husband, you are addressing her relatives. It's only a woman that comes to the place of prayer and herself doesn't have any prayer point for herself. All the prayer points she has are either for her children, her husband, or somebody else. Because that's how they are wired. So when you are addressing a woman, you are addressing a society. I want to make a decree concerning your circumstances. Very serious issue. Tell me two things that happened quickly.
For over 12 years, she can't bend her leg behind.
For over 12 years, you couldn't bend your leg behind. You couldn't do this.
From her waist.
For over 12 years, it was locked. But now you can. And you are just looking like that.
Since COVID, that's 2020, her knee has been paining her. Now the pain is up.
Since 2020. My God.
Excruciating pains all over. Check out.
We make a miracle worker. Promise keeper. You are in the darkness. My God. Darling, who you are.
For over 3 days, checked out.
Abdomen.
Ulcer, checked out.
Ulcer, checked out. For how long?
She can't remember.
You can't remember anymore.
Came here with pain, but the moment you began to pray, the pain.
Lift your hands toward heaven. I decree over everything you lay your hands to do. In the name of Jesus, they are commanded to prosper. Everybody you are standing in the gap for, I decree now by the power of the Holy Ghost, they are touched. I speak over your life. Every drought you have suffered until now, receive the abundance of rain. I speak over your families. Every contradiction that reduces the potency of the word of God, it turns around for your good. In the name of Jesus, as you step out of this conference, you walk perpetually under an open heaven. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you. The Lord give you peace. Your going out and your coming in is blessed. All the days of your life in righteousness prosper. So let it be written. So let it be established.
Apostle, sir, we must hear this.
Let's take that last one.
At the side of her breast.
At the side of her breast.
Now, she came in for that purpose.
You had a pain.
She kicked out.
For how long?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In fact, the truth is that you can't touch this.
My God.
My husband doesn't touch it.
Because of pains.
Yes, and this time, I didn't want to tell my mother. I wanted God to do it by himself. You know, and I've been believing God for that healing. So when, in fact, at the camp that we went, our mother believed, she prayed for me over the spirit of death. So, and the pain continued. But after her prayer, I knew that I was not going to die. But I told God, I don't want to serve you with this pain. So even in the midst of my service, I still believe God that this pain will disappear. So when I came to this camp, I said, God, I need a sign. I want you, like, give me a sign that at the end of this meeting, I won't feel this pain again. So when the prayers was going on, I was feeling like, you know, but after you finished praying, I felt like, yeah, I was free. So I started to press the breath. And
the pain is gone.
I can't feel it.
For how long did you have that?
It's long.
Give the Lord the shout!
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that he died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.